Good morning, everyone. Well, thank you for having us at the Hill City. We really enjoyed your warm welcoming, and it's cold outside, but my heart is very warm. And I'm very excited this morning to share God's word with you. So my husband, Jim, once told me that you should never refuse when someone offers to give you a breath mint. Because you never know the real reason why they're offering to you. Maybe they're being generous, or maybe they are just trying to tell you something. So I have always remembered that. It also makes me think about the occasion when you're flying or in a long car ride, and the passenger next to you takes off their shoes to be comfortable, which would be okay, except when their feet smell bad. So at that moment, I would also want to make an offer as well. Excuse me, would you like to try my shoes? So I hope in your life, you have never suffered from stinky feet, whether it's your own or the people next to you. But today, I will share a story from the Bible about a group of people who'd rather endure stinking feet at a banquet than to be a servant to honor other people. What would make them think that way? What could be worse than stinky feet? Well, let's open our Bible to the book of John, chapter 13, verse 1 through 17. And you can also follow along the Bible verse on the screen. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, nor my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and the Lord. You are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know those things, blessed are you if you do them." So when I was a child, to keep good feet hygiene, my mom always told me to wash my feet before I go to bed. But what would your reaction be when you went to visit your friend's house for lunch after church today, the first thing your friend brought you is water, but not to drink, but to wash your feet. Maybe most of us will decide not to come back again. But that was a normal during Jesus' time in the first century Israel. When the guest comes for dinner or visit, the host will run out of the door to meet the guest. A greet the guest with kisses of water for foot washing. And finally, pour olive oil on the guest's face and hair. That was the right way to be kind and honor the guest. The foot washing, however, not only shows the hospitality of the host, but is rather practical. Now, I'd like you to think about a city you have visited with lots of people. Now imagine there is only one problem. The city does not have any street cleaners or trash collection point. So what would the people do with garbage? Think about the easiest way. Take them from your house and throw on the street. But now also think about all the animals roaming on the street. Only without any plastic bags available for the owners to pick up after them. And finally, you realize the only thing you have to wear is a pair of sandals like this. You go to the next slide. So after miles of walking in your sandals, you have collected all the dust and the mess on your feet. Finally, you made it to your friend's amazing luxurious loft. And upon entering to enjoy the great feast, you also realize there's no table or even stools, but everyone is leaning on their chest with each other's feet and the food at the same level. Then suddenly you become so thankful when you see your friend send his or her lowly servant with water to wash your feet. You could have not imagined how you would possibly consume this delicious food with the strong smell from everyone's stinky feet. Such was part of the everyday life experience in Jesus' time. Moreover, because the guest's feet most likely have collected all the dust, sewage, and odors from the street, the host usually only sent the most lowly slaves to wash the guest's feet, as it is considered to be a very demeaning job. So when Jesus and his disciples had this meal, they were meeting secretly because Jesus' enemy were looking for a chance to arrest him. And he knew that his time to die on the cross was coming soon. Because of this reason, it was very likely there was no servant was presented at the Last Supper. Only Jesus and his 12 disciples. So, who should wash everyone's feet? Certainly not Jesus. He was their rabbi, their teacher. And according to Jewish culture, the teacher has all the right to be served by his students under any circumstance. Not even to mention, the disciples were starting to recognize Jesus' real identity, the Son of God. So when they realized that someone would need to wash feet, they thought in their hearts, "Not me. This job is too humiliating for me. I have given up everything to follow Jesus. I deserve to be served, not acting like a slave to wash stinky feet." if I do this, everyone will assume that I'm the servant in the group. And I will always get treated this way. So the disciples, they ate, they drank, and they argued among themselves about who was the greatest, without anyone washing each other's feet. What's worse than stinky feet? Their fear to be the first one to serve the other. So Jesus rose up from the supper, took off his outer clothes, and tied a long towel around his waist. He was acting like he was going to be the servant. The disciples were so confused. Then they were astonished at what Jesus did next. He put the water into the basin and started to wash the disciples' feet. Peter was horrified that his Lord, his master, and his teacher was acting like his servant. What about Jesus' dignity, his high position among them, and his right to be served? No, Lord, not my feet. In fact, you shall not wash my feet. What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but afterward, you will understand. Jesus answered him, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know those things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus wanted the disciple to realize the thing that is worse than their stinking feet is their pride. The pride that led them to endure a terrible smell from each other's feet, and the pride that kept them from freely loving and serving each other. Jesus also asked us to surrender the pride in our hearts, the pride that keeps us from loving and serving each other. How can we possibly do this? We, many times, like the disciple, would rather endure something uncomfortable, like the smell of the stinky feet, than let go of our pride and be a servant for someone. So first, we follow the example of Jesus. We choose to serve. When God reveals a pride in our hearts, we need to make a deliberate choice to refuse what our pride wants by finding a way to serve. Second, to give up our pride, we need to find our identity in God. We can do this instead of finding our identity and the value from possession, accomplishment, or the praise of other people. John 13:3 says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied around his waist." Jesus was confident in his identity, so he did not need the disciples to serve him so that he could be confident in his status as God. We will never be able to handle our pride until we feel secure in our identity as the children of God. And finally, to give up our pride, we tap into God's love. We need to ask God to fill our hearts with His love. Only His love is perfect. As it says in 1 Corinthians 13, His love is patient, kind, bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Only when we are filled with the love of Christ can we let go of the things we feel we are entitled to and have a real love for other people. Could we let go of our pride at work when we are called to learn from others despite our seniority, position, or experience so we can better serve our companies? Could we let go of our pride and really listen to the struggle of our kids and the spouse, not in a way that's most convenient for us, but in a way that can better serve the family? Could we let go of our pride in our local and the greater church to lay down our presumption about the other and reach out and caring for each other despite any difference we may have? Could we let go of our pride when we share our faith? To not demand, but choose to understand, to serve as needed, and share God's love no matter the response. Jesus says, if you know those things, blessed are you if you do them. When we follow what we learn from His teaching, we will experience freedom from our pride and better relationships with God and with other people. And if it is your heart's desire today to follow Jesus' example, to serve others, and to be free from pride in your own heart, then I encourage you to take time this week to journal, to pray, and listen to what God speaks to you. And if we encounter the moment when God is challenging us to serve each other despite our pride, let's take a step to follow His example and pray for His enablement. But even if we failed, we should remember God will not get frustrated with us. He knows our capacity and the sincerity of our hearts. And His grace is enough to help and change us as we continue to seek Him and allow Him to work in and with us. And if you have not committed your life to Jesus yet, but today's story has made you want to learn more who God is, I encourage you to talk to a Christian friend of yours and start to take some time to learn about Jesus from the Bible. And if those are the desires of your heart, I ask you to put your hands on your heart and pray with me. God, we thank you. We thank you for your message. And we thank you for your examples. You're the Lord of heavens and earth. But you come to not demand. You come to this earth to serve and to give up your life for all of us. So I just pray and ask you to show us to the part of our heart that we're holding pride. And I just pray that you help us bring awareness of the areas of our life you want us to change. And then help us, God. Help us to change. Help us to be the vessel of your love. Help us to love each other and love the world so people can know more about you. Thank you, Lord. We just ask your spirit to be with us, to guide us. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.